Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today, we're taking a deep dive into a case that really shook things up in federal Indian law, McClanahan v. Arizona State Tax Commission.
Oh, yeah. This one's a classic.
You know, the one with the Navajo woman who said, "Hold on, Arizona, you can't tax my income if I live and work on the reservation."
Right. It really gets to the core of tribal sovereignty and how it bumps up against state jurisdiction.
Exactly.
It's fascinating stuff.
So to set the stage, this seemingly simple case about a tax bill for, like, was it $16?
$16.20.
$16.20.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It blew up into this massive legal battle that ended up in the Supreme Court.
It did. And what's really wild is that this was 1973.
Oh, wow.
Super politically divided time. But the court, unanimous decision in favor of Rosalind McClanahan, the Navajo woman at the heart of it all.
Wow.
Like, that tells you something about how fundamental the issues were.
Okay, so I'm already hooked. Paint me a picture. Who was Rosalind McClanahan, and why was this $16.20 tax bill such a big deal?
So Rosalind McClanahan, she was a Navajo woman living and working on the Navajo reservation in Arizona. She had a job, like most of us, had taxes withheld from her paycheck.
Right.
But here's the thing. Arizona wanted a piece of that. They wanted to collect state income tax on her wages, even though everything she earned came from work she did on the reservation.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine how she felt, and a lot of folks felt like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that feels like overreach.
Yeah.
So how did this even end up at the Supreme Court?
Well, it was a long road, that's for sure. It started in Arizona's courts. And get this, the Arizona Supreme Court, they actually sided with the state.
Oh, no.
They said, yeah, Arizona can tax her income. Thankfully, she didn't give up. She appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's where things get interesting.
Okay, so the Supreme Court, they're looking at this case, and the big question is, can Arizona legally tax a Navajo member's income if that income was earned entirely on the reservation?
You got it. And the court's answer, a resounding no.
Okay, I need details. What was their reasoning? What was the legal basis for that decision?
So the court's decision really boiled down to three major points. Tribal sovereignty, the principle of federal preemption, and the fact that Congress hadn't specifically given Arizona the green light to levy this kind of tax.
Okay, so let's unpack those one by one. I think, you know, a lot of people have heard the term tribal sovereignty, but maybe you don't fully grasp what it means. Can we dig into that a little?
Sure. Tribal sovereignty, it's this inherent right that tribes have to govern themselves. It's not something the U.S. government gave them.
Right.
Something they've always had as distinct political communities. It predates the United States. It's rooted in their long history of self-government.
So it's not just a historical concept. It's a living, breathing principle that impacts how tribes interact with states and the federal government today.
Exactly. And in the McClanahan case, the court made it clear Arizona couldn't just impose its laws on the Navajo reservation without the federal government's okay. Justice Marshall, he really laid it out there, writing, "It must always be remembered that the various Indian tribes were once independent and sovereign nations, and that their claim to sovereignty long predates that of our own government."
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
So how did the court apply this whole idea of tribal sovereignty to the specifics of this case, to what was happening with Rosalind McClanahan?
Well, they went back to the 1868 Navajo Treaty, which established the reservation. And that treaty was key because it very specifically designates the reservation for the exclusive use and occupancy of the Navajo people.
So in essence, it's creating this zone where it's Navajo law, Navajo governance that prevails,
yeah,
and states can't just waltz in.
Exactly. Non-Navajos, and that includes the state of Arizona, can't just come in and impose their laws or taxes without a very clear okay from the federal government.
So we have this treaty safeguarding Navajo land. And then on top of that, we have the Arizona Enabling Act of 1910, which actually specifically prohibits state taxes on Indian lands and property.
Right.
It feels like Arizona really walked into a legal trap here.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to put it. The Enabling Act basically tied Arizona's hands when it came to taxing things happening on the reservation. They created what the court called a federal enclave. Like, imagine it's almost a separate nation within the state's borders.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is where it gets interesting for me because it's like this legal puzzle, right, where all these different pieces fit together to form this picture.
Mm-hmm.
So the treaty and the Enabling Act, they established this framework where Arizona can't impose its taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this third piece, this congressional authorization piece.
Right.
Why was that so important to McClanahan?
Well, because even with the Treaty and Enabling Act, there are still some ways states can have jurisdiction on reservations.
Oh, okay, so it's not an absolute bar. There are exceptions.
Right. And the Supreme Court has said that, yeah, Congress has the power to give states some limited authority over reservations in certain areas.
Got it.
But the catch is, and this is a big catch, that authorization has to be super specific and clear.
Okay.
And in McClanahan, the court took a hard look at federal laws, things like Public Law 280 and the Buck Act, which do give states a little wiggle room in Indian country.
Okay. So these laws are like loopholes in a way.
Yeah, kind of. They create these very specific situations where states can step in.
Got it.
But in McClanahan, the court said, nope, none of those situations apply here. Arizona didn't get the Navajo Nation's explicit say-so to do this income tax thing.
Right.
And this situation doesn't fit into any of those very specific categories outlined in those laws. They made it clear just because a tribal member happens to work for a non-Indian employer, that doesn't magically give the state the right to tax their income if that income was earned on the reservation.
That makes sense. It keeps circling back to that core principle of tribal sovereignty, is like this constant tug of war between these inherent powers of the tribes and how far the states can reach.
You got it. It's a balancing act. And a lot of times the courts are the ones trying to figure out where that line is. And, you know, sometimes it's not just about specific laws or treaties. There's this legal principle called the canon of construction that comes into play too.
Canon of construction. That rings a bell. Remind me what that is again.
Sure. It's this fundamental rule about how you interpret the law, especially when you're dealing with treaties between the U.S. government and tribes. Basically, if the language in a treaty is unclear, a little fuzzy, the courts are supposed to side with the tribe's interpretation.
Oh, interesting. So if there's any doubt, the benefit of the doubt goes to the tribe. Why is that?
Well, there's a few reasons. You know, a lot of these treaties were made in totally different cultural settings, different languages. Often there was this huge power imbalance between the U.S. government and the tribes they were dealing with. And the Supreme Court has consistently said that treaties should be interpreted in a way that the tribes would have understood them back when they were signed.
So it's about fairness, taking the historical context into account.
Exactly. And this canon of construction, it plays a huge role in protecting tribal rights. It's like a safeguard against interpretations that might chip away at tribal sovereignty or water down those treaty promises.
So it sounds like this principle was definitely at play in the McClanahan case.
Oh, absolutely. The court brought it up specifically to back up their reading of the 1868 Navajo Treaty. They really wanted to drive home the point about how important it is to uphold tribal sovereignty.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've looked at the legal foundation for the McClanahan decision, how it's all about tribal sovereignty, federal preemption, congressional authorization, this canon of construction.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, what kind of impact did this case have, you know, beyond Rosalind McClanahan's $16.20 tax bill? Why should our listeners, even today, care about this case?
That's a great question, because McClanahan, it's not just some old case gathering dust. It set this really powerful precedent that's still shaping legal battles over tribal sovereignty, even now.
Interesting.
It created this whole framework for how we think about state taxation in Indian country.
Okay.
And it reinforced that idea that states can't just tax activities on reservations without a very clear green light from Congress.
So it's like a roadmap for how states need to approach this whole issue of taxation when it comes to tribal lands.
Exactly. And it's been cited in tons of cases since then.
Really?
Like Michigan v. Bay Mills Indian Community. We talked about that one before, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
That case involved a fight over a casino the Bay Mills Indian Community was running, but it was on land they bought outside their reservation.
Right, right. And how did McClanahan factor into that?
Well, Michigan argued that, hey, this casino's off reservation. We have the right to tax its revenue. But the Supreme Court, they looked back at McClanahan and they said, nope, the state can't tax it without Congress specifically saying so.
So even though the situation was different, that core principle from McClanahan still applied. States can't just assume they have the right to tax tribal activities, even if they're happening outside of reservations.
Exactly. McClanahan set this really high bar for states that want to tax tribes. And those principles, they're still protecting tribal economic interests today.
That's a huge win for tribes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's been pushback, right? I mean, states aren't always thrilled about potentially losing out on tax revenue.
Oh, for sure. There's been criticism of McClanahan and cases like it. Some people say they create these tax havens on reservations.
Oh, interesting.
Giving tribal businesses this unfair edge over non-tribal competitors because they can sell things without collecting the same taxes, meaning states lose out on a chunk of change.
So it's an economic argument as well as a legal one.
Exactly. It's complicated. There are no easy answers. But, you know, the Supreme Court has always emphasized this thing called the federal government's trust responsibility to tribes.
Right.
Which basically means the government has this legal and moral duty to protect tribal interests and make sure tribes have what they need to thrive.
So the court is saying it's about upholding treaty obligations and ensuring tribal self-determination.
Exactly. And while the tax haven argument might sound good on the surface, it's important to remember the historical context. Tribes have been systematically stripped of their land, their resources, their economic opportunities for centuries.
Right.
Cases like McClanahan, they're about recognizing and protecting their inherent right to govern themselves and to develop their economies.
So it feels like there's a bigger principle at play here. It's about fairness. It's about balancing competing interests.
Absolutely. It's not just about dollars and cents. It's about respecting tribal sovereignty, understanding the unique challenges that tribes face.
And that makes me think about the practical implications of McClanahan. What are the things lawyers, policymakers, anyone working with tribes should really keep in mind because of this case?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is that tribal sovereignty, it's not just this abstract idea. It has real-world consequences, and it needs to be front and center in any decision-making that involves tribal interests.
So it's a call for awareness, for sensitivity to tribal rights.
Exactly. For lawyers working on cases involving tribal lands or businesses, knowing federal Indian law is crucial. You got to be familiar with the treaties, the relevant statutes, the case law that shapes this whole area of law.
Sounds like specialized knowledge is key.
Oh, for sure. And it's not just about knowing the black and white of the law. It's about understanding the cultural context, those historical complexities that underpin tribal-state relations.
So it's about more than just winning a case. It's about building relationships based on respect, on understanding.
Precisely. Lawyers need to know how to work effectively with tribal leaders, with community members, and that takes cultural competency, a real commitment to upholding tribal sovereignty.
And what about policymakers? What are the lessons they should be taking from McClanahan?
For policymakers, it's about tribal consultation. Any law or policy that affects tribal interests, it needs to be developed hand in hand with the tribes themselves.
So it's about recognizing tribes as partners, not just stakeholders.
Exactly. It's about moving away from this top-down approach towards a more collaborative, respectful relationship with tribes.
This has been so enlightening. I honestly didn't know much about this case before, but it's clear. McClanahan v. Arizona State Tax Commission. It's so much more than just a tax case.
Mm-hmm.
It's a landmark decision that still shapes the relationship between tribes and states today.
Totally agree. It's a case about tribal sovereignty, self-determination, this ongoing fight for justice and equality.
And it all started with a Navajo woman who said, "No, you can't take my $16.20.
Right. Rosalind McClanahan's courage, her determination, they sparked this legal battle that had a ripple effect far beyond her own case.
Absolutely.
Her story shows us how even small acts of resistance can change the course of history.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this part of our deep dive into McClanahan v. Arizona State Tax Commission. We'll be back after a short break to explore the lasting legacy of this case and what it means for the future of tribal sovereignty in the 21st century.
Stay tuned. We're going to dive even deeper into those complexities of federal Indian law. And look at how McClanahan still influences the legal landscape for tribes today. It really has. And I think one of the most important things we've learned is that this case isn't just about the past. It's about the present and the future of tribal-state relations.
Absolutely. So let's shift our focus to the present. What are some of the key challenges that tribes are facing today when it comes to asserting their sovereignty and protecting their interests?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is the ongoing erosion of tribal lands and resources. Through a combination of historical injustices and modern-day pressures, tribes have lost control of vast amounts of their ancestral territories. This loss of land has had a devastating impact on their ability to exercise their sovereignty and to provide for their citizens.
It's a heartbreaking legacy of colonialism and broken promises.
It is. And it's something that continues to have a profound impact on tribal communities today. Without a secure land base, it's difficult for tribes to exercise their self-governance rights, to develop their economies, or to protect their cultural heritage.
So what can be done to address this issue?
Well, there are a number of things. First and foremost, there needs to be greater recognition of the federal government's trust responsibility to tribes. This means acknowledging the historical wrongs that have been committed and taking concrete steps to restore tribal lands and resources.
So it's about righting past wrongs and creating a more just and equitable future for tribes.
Exactly. And it also means supporting tribal efforts to manage their own lands and resources. Tribes have a deep understanding of their ecosystems, and they are best positioned to make decisions about how to use their land sustainably.
It sounds like a shift in power is needed from a paternalistic approach to one based on respect and collaboration.
That's exactly right. It's about recognizing tribes as equal partners in the management of our shared resources.
And beyond land issues, what are some other challenges that tribes are facing today?
Another major challenge is the lack of adequate funding for tribal programs and services. Tribes are often forced to rely on federal grants, which can be unpredictable and subject to political whims. This chronic underfunding has a ripple effect impacting everything from healthcare and education to infrastructure and economic development.
So it's a systemic issue that limits tribes' ability to provide for their citizens.
It is. And it's something that needs to be addressed through a combination of increased federal funding and greater tribal control over their own resources.
It sounds like self-determination is a key theme here.
Absolutely. It's about empowering tribes to make their own decisions about their future and to control their own destinies.
And speaking of self-determination, how does McClanahan fit into this broader conversation about tribal sovereignty and the fight for self-governance?
McClanahan is a powerful example of how tribes can use the legal system to assert their sovereignty and to protect their interests. It shows that even in the face of powerful opposition, tribes can win important victories that have a lasting impact.
It's a story of resilience and the power of the law to effect change.
It is, and it's a reminder that the fight for tribal sovereignty is far from over. There are still many challenges ahead, but McClanahan stands as a beacon of hope and a testament to the enduring strength of tribal nations.
Well said. It's been an incredibly enlightening conversation, and I'm grateful for your insights.
The pleasure was all mine.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into McClanahan v. Arizona State Tax Commission. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of this landmark case and its enduring relevance in the 21st century. We encourage you to continue exploring the complexities of federal Indian law and to support the ongoing fight for tribal sovereignty.
Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep advocating for a more just and equitable future for all. It really has. And one of the biggest takeaways for me is, you know, this case isn't just about the past.
Right.
It's about the present and the future of these tribal-state relations.
Absolutely. So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about what's happening now. What are some of the challenges that tribes are facing today when it comes to asserting their sovereignty and protecting their interests?
Well, I think one of the most pressing issues is this constant erosion of tribal lands and resources. Mm. You know, through a mix of, you know, historical injustices, modern pressures, tribes have lost control of huge chunks of their ancestral territories.
Yeah.
And that loss of land, it's had this devastating impact on their ability to really exercise their sovereignty and take care of their people.
It's a really tough legacy of colonialism, of broken promises.
It is. And it's something that continues to have this ripple effect today. I mean, without a secure land base, it's incredibly difficult.
Well, there are a few things. First and foremost, we need to see more recognition of the federal government's trust responsibility to these tribes.
Correct.
And that means acknowledging the wrongs that have been done and taking real steps to restore these lands and resources.
So it's about righting those wrongs and creating a more just and equitable future.
Exactly. And it also means really supporting tribal efforts to manage their own lands and resources. I mean, tribes have this deep understanding of their ecosystems. They're in the best position to make choices about how to use their lands responsibly.
Yeah. It seems like we need a real shift in power, you know, moving away from this paternalistic approach to one that's rooted in respect and collaboration.
Right. It's about recognizing tribes as equal partners in managing these resources that we all share.
And, you know, thinking beyond just land issues, what are some of the other things that tribes are up against today?
Another huge challenge is the lack of adequate funding for tribal programs and services. I mean, a lot of times tribes are forced to rely on these federal grants, which can be super unpredictable.
Oh, yeah.
And subject to the whims of politics. And this chronic underfunding has this domino effect, impacting everything from healthcare and education to infrastructure and economic development.
It's a systemic issue. It really limits tribes' ability to provide for their own citizens.
It does. And it's something that needs to be tackled through both increased federal funding and, you know, giving tribes more control over their own resources.
It sounds like this idea of self-determination is a recurring theme here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about giving tribes the power to make their own decisions about their future, to control their own destiny.
And speaking of self-determination, how does McClanahan fit into this bigger conversation, you know, this conversation about tribal sovereignty and this fight for self-governance?
Well, McClanahan, it's this powerful example of how tribes can use the legal system to stand up for their sovereignty and protect their interests. It shows that even when they're facing strong opposition, tribes can achieve these really important victories that have a lasting effect.
It's a story about resilience, about the power of the law to bring about change.
It really is. And it reminds us that this fight for tribal sovereignty, it's not over. There's still so much work to be done. But McClanahan stands as this beacon of hope, a testament to the enduring strength of tribal nations.
I love that. Well said. It's been a truly enlightening conversation. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure.
And all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into McClanahan v. Arizona State Tax Commission. We hope you've walked away with a better understanding of this case, its significance, and how relevant it still is in the 21st century. We encourage you to keep exploring these complexities of federal Indian law and to support this ongoing fight for tribal sovereignty.
Yes, keep learning, keep asking those tough questions, and keep advocating for a more just and equitable future for everyone.